It is great to have as many as we do tonight. We have five groups with us, along with our group. And I thank you very much for that. Some here physically, some set visually in various video formats. And I thank you for that. Some of you just listening on audio, and that's great too. But I'm glad we could get together. I know we were limited in some ways and places as folks couldn't get to some of our destinations with the weather we had this last weekend. But we love the Lord, don't we? We love the Lord. And I'm thankful that we have been able to worship Him today and to worship Him in spirit and truth. I have been appreciating the rawness of the Jesus movement of late, or been thinking about what has been and what God has done. I have been in remembrance of the things that happened in the late 60s, early 70s, and am watching some documentaries on the Jesus movement and the music and different things it brought about, and Billy Graham's involvement in that, in a big expo that was in Dallas many years ago. And it's just been a reliving of some of the things I participated in and or saw happen in my early years in Christ. And then in our beginnings as well, some of that same kind of spirit and attitude as we saw God birth Covenant of Grace Ministry and Fellowship. I want you to know that in the midst of our becoming more organized or becoming more together and seeing things through as far as our discipleship, I've tried to make sure as a pastor, a teacher, as a minister of the gospel, to remember that everything comes from the Lord, and the freshness and the grace of the Spirit has got to be in the flow of everything that goes on. And we want to be able to have that fresh touch of the Lord in every aspect of our lives every day. We don't want this thing to grow dry on us when it comes to this Christian faith, just like we don't in our relationships, etc. And we need to always remember the Lord and honor Him and imitate the Lord and look at Christ's life like we will tonight and remember what He did and how He went about doing it and what He said and what He did and how it changed the world. And the anointing and the power of God that's taken place in the church has springboarded so many things in the late 60s and early 70s and has come about and has seen some of its work even in today. It's something awesome, and I'm thankful for. And the church seems to sometimes go back and forth in the undulating current of God's Holy Spirit. But that's partially because God has got to prepare His church and have the vessels able to receive that which the Lord is trying to do. And if the Lord just kept on blasting us with the power of God in such an extraordinary way all the time and revealing this and that constantly, we wouldn't be able to take it. We wouldn't be able to have it within our person and really be able to meditate upon it, think about it. It would just hit us so quickly that we wouldn't be able to really gain wisdom and knowledge as the Lord would have us to do. And we would just be kind of going with it, not really knowing what we're doing. So it's important for us to have those times of reprieve at times to be able to settle in and kind of get to know and really understand what God's been doing. So we can take in the next breath of God and the work of God and the power and the revival the Lord has. Amen? Amen. Turn to 1 John. Chapter 2, 5 through 6, and then we're going to get to our basic lesson in John 12. I believe I mentioned we'd be in John 12. If I didn't, we're in John 12 tonight. Some of the shepherd leaders making fun of Brother Vossen because they're all done with John and started 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and I'm still stuck in John. Call it pastor prerogative, or I just couldn't slide through some of the chapters like we had in the study guide, and I kind of got stuck in a couple places. Amen. But they were, I've been kind of joshed a little bit by Brother Osgood and a couple guys. So and that's all right. That's all good. Amen. But we're in John chapter 12 and we're going to enjoy it. But 1 John 2, 5 through 6, I want to read to you. If anyone obeys God's word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. Must live as Jesus did. We are to be imitators of God. And I want you to remember that as we go through this lesson tonight, that we are to be imitators of God. Paul said to follow me as I follow Christ. And in our hearts and lives, we want to follow after the Lord and what we've seen through the Word of God, and to be able to take hold of the example He's given us and live it out. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, all things become new. We are Colossians chapter 3 Christians in that respect. And then having done so, we put on the whole armor of God that the Lord has given us, that we might go out and serve the Lord. Young children sometimes mimic their older brothers or sisters, following them around while trying to do everything that the older sibling does. Of course, the older child often finds this annoying, especially when the imitation is done for the very purpose of being annoying, which is not good. The better reason is when the action stems from respect and admiration, a desire to know and to be like the older sibling. John exhorts us to be like Jesus because of our faith in God, love for Him, and commitment to follow in His ways. Jesus spoke truth and had the righteous actions to match what He said. Every action Jesus took aligned with what He taught and also showed His commitment to the truth of Scripture and His Father's will. Also, it stands to reason that if we claim to be children of God, we should be imitators of Him. This requires consistent action on our part in how we obey God and how we love and treat others, even in our relationships with those we find difficult. We need to get to know Jesus by noticing how He lived through the Word and following His example. Have you ever had a sibling or such that you had to follow after who was older and had kind of gone to the school you'd already been to and done some of the things you're a part of that day or today? And you got annoyed because, you know, everybody was kind of looking to you to be like them. I had one of those privileges following my brilliant sister, Vicky, at Ottawa High School. And my brother was lucky to go to Marquette High School and kind of avoided it. But I went to Ottawa High School, and the teachers all remembered Vicky. And so they were kind of expecting me to follow after those ropes. What she did, the brilliant one. Well, I think I'm not too dumb, and God has blessed me, and I have muddled through getting PhDs, etc. But my sister is wonderful and is very bright. And it was sometimes hard and annoying trying to follow her and hearing some of the teachers say what they would about my sister, just kind of thinking I would be like her. Well, I want you to know, in each and every one of our lives, there are sometimes people we try to be like, or, you know, imitate. And sometimes it's a good example and sometimes it's a bad example. The traits I tried to take that my sister did leave for me, there are some that I have been able to emulate in my life. I'm thankful for. But in many cases, sometimes we imitate things that we ought not imitate. Actions and things that our siblings have done that have not left a good testimony. And so we have to be wise stewards of the things of God and truly be imitators of God and keep to the measurement of God's word. Too many times we see something new happening in the kingdom of God and we just want to jump on board. But remember, we need to taste and see that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And we need to look at those things and pray them out and think them out before we walk in them. And so as imitators of the Lord, we need to be diligent and we need to be wise. Amen. And don't just jump at the first new thing you see. Okay? I've seen and heard a lot of late some of those in the church who have kind of brought to my attention different things that I didn't know were going on in the church, and different people are doing and saying this is what God's saying to the church in this hour and whatnot. And, you know, hey, that's all good. And it might be God. It'll prove itself out. And I'm not a negatory person when it comes to receiving revelation. But when I, in my spirit, and I've been around this thing a while, know what I know, when it kind of feels a little, maybe not scriptural, I hold back. And I try to wait and see what the Lord will do and see the fruit of it. Now, I say that in recognition of this. There were times in the Jesus movement that I mentioned that when this new rock and roll Christianity came around and this new, kind of representation of Christ, when people went to church with bell bottoms, whatever else, they weren't wearing their nice suits and everything else, people had questions about. But if you got through the facade and everything else and you started to check the real person out, you started to realize that it was genuine. It was genuine. And they really loved God and they wanted to express the Lord's love and they wanted to know Him and they wanted to be more like Jesus. And so even though it wasn't what had, quote, been always represented in the church, it was genuine and it was Christ-like. And because of that, I attached myself to it, and many did. There were some who were well-known preachers who spoke adamantly against the movement. It's of the devil, this and that. But I want you to know, when the imitators are living like Christ and the Spirit is genuine love and walking after God's love, it's a hard thing to kick against that. Amen. So we need to be careful about just jumping on the new bandwagons or, quote, revelations. But we also have to check out the heart and the spirit of it. And then if there is no contradiction in God's word, and God's word really doesn't say much about it, then, hey, could just all be good. Amen. Jesus came into society and he shook up things. Hey, what he was doing to a lot of those folks was shocking them. They'd never seen this before. He was the Son of Man and he was declaring the word of God. He was going forth as the Son of Man and preaching God's word and being a diligent servant of the Lord. And the anointing and power of God followed him. And people were not used to that. They're used to people just getting up and saying, do this and that. Give us your sacrifices. Here you go. Oh, you better not do that. You better not do that. This love of God, this demonstration of love, this caring for one another, this supporting one another, this seeing the miraculous power of God in demonstration was not the norm. But it was the Lord at work. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version of the Bible. So I want you to know and understand that, one, I want to be an imitator of God and reflect His image and know His scripture and His life, because His life and example helps me to understand the word and how to live in that spirit. But also I have to take a seat back and not just jump on the bandwagon every time there's something new down the pike and gain clarity from the Holy Spirit and His word. But if it's being done in the right spirit and such, and the Lord wants me to be a participant in it, I want to be part of it, because I want to be working on God's side for the work and the commitment of His kingdom. Amen? How about you? Hallelujah. John chapter 12, verse 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Remember our previous lesson in chapter 11, etc., the powerful work that God had done, and Jesus had spoken, move the stone, etc., and Lazarus had come forth, and this great testimony and demonstration of the power of God and having the authority of God that Jesus performed. And it just took everybody by surprise. And here is Lazarus in fellowship with Jesus and family. And they're having this time together. Look at verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Mary, just in celebration, just in a spirit of honor, just in a spirit of just being led of God, in a fresh move of God, just anointed Jesus' feet. Verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. He objected. Hey, what is this thing? What's going on? I don't get this. She's wasting money. Okay? Are you with me, church? Okay, stick with me here. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. See, he had alternative motives. When things are happening in God's church and the Holy Spirit is there and God's anointing is upon something, sometimes it radically affects the atmosphere. It radically affects what's going on. And some people feel the way that they are serving God, living for God, and doing things for God is kind of being hindered, hurt, touched upon, eradicated, etc. Might be anything. But they're uncomfortable with this new move of God. Verse 7, leave her alone. Jesus replied, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. And Judas didn't care about the poor, but Jesus was trying to make a point. She's doing this for a purpose. You don't know it right now, but she's doing it to anoint my body. Amen. She's doing it in an act of worship. She's being led of the Holy Spirit and doing something defined and intimate and powerful. Amen. The poor you're going to have with you. You're going to be able to give, and there's going to be things you're going to do later. But this needs to be done now. In my heart and my life right now, I want you to know that I want God to move within the work here and in the body of Christ in such a way that we see that kind of expression of love for one another. Hey, I don't care what it costs. I don't care, you know what it is. I'm going to touch this person. I'm going to minister in this way. I know God's going to do something. He wants me to do this as an expression of love. And in our hearts and lives, I think we are coming to a point where we have got to see that fresh touch in our hearts and lives, where we see that fresh anointing, where we see that very special place, where, you know, some of those around about say, I don't know if you should do that, whatnot. You know, that's going a little bit too overboard. But isn't it being an imitator of Jesus? And wasn't it being an imitator of what one of his disciples did here? One of his intimate ones? One of those who were close to Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm looking for some genuine expressions of God's love in the church. I'm looking for some genuine expressions of God's anointing in his church. I'm looking for some genuine move of God in God's church that shows a fresh touch of God because he's preparing something just like his body was being prepared for burial. You with me, church? God's preparing something right now in the church, in the body. We've gone through these undulating swings back and forth. And I believe that we are getting in the place to receive something as the oracles of God and to be able to pour it out. And we've got to be willing to break open that box, take out the expensive oil, and begin to share in a very special way. I don't know what it is in your life that maybe God has already given you in possession, or whatever you have in your talents and gifts to be able to give to the body of Christ. But there is coming a time shortly that you're going to bear witness of those gifts, and God's going to bless in a supernatural way. And some people are going to sit there just like this man did Judas Iscariot, just like some did during the Jesus movement, declaring them devils who sang that rock and roll Christian music. Hey, stop it. Amen. What did Gamaliel say to those who were questioning the things that the early Christians were doing? You better wait to make sure this is not of God, he said. You better make sure, because you don't want to go against the work of God. You don't want to go against the will of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can get so comfortable in our traditional settings that we don't have that breakout experience of breaking open the alabaster box, breaking open that anointed perfume and just sharing it and pouring it all over Jesus. Say, Lord, here you go. Hallelujah. I just want to express my love to you. And God, here it is. Everything I've got, it's yours. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to know, I believe that there's going to be some extravagant demonstrations of love, caring, and ministry that we're going to do as a body of Christ is going to do throughout the whole world, and what God's wanting you to do in your personal life. Amen. In a very special way. Verse 7, leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So they wanted to see Jesus, but they also came to see the miracle man of the day, Lazarus, the dead man who came back from the grave. Hallelujah. The Lord had been doing some tremendous things through the power of Jesus that showed forth his glory in such a way. The Son of Man was preparing and doing miracles. Hallelujah. The Lord God Almighty was demonstrating himself through the veil of the flesh in a way that was touching lives in a supernatural way and changing the course and the direction of what would become the church. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Hey, this new thing is getting out of hand. We don't like this. Come on, we need to put a stop to this. We don't just want to get rid of Jesus. We need to get rid of Lazarus. And I talked a little bit about this last lesson. But here we go again, chapter 12. You know, Satan wants to stop the work that God's trying to do so bad. He wants to put road bumps in there. He wants to do anything he can to dampen the work of God, anything to slow it down, whatever. Because if God's work and his will and his love gets to move like it is, it's like a wildfire that can't be contained. And it will just take everything in its path. Hallelujah. I kind of like that. In your heart, life, and mind, we need to allow the Lord to just consume us with his love. And we need to be imitators of the Lord, showing forth his love, his care, his concern, his mercy, his kindness to this generation. He wants us to break it open, guys. Oh, that perfume you have, that special something you have in your life, that you can touch someone today. Amen. Look at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way back to Jerusalem. And then the story of, what we consider, considering the palm branches, etc., begins to take place. But before we get into that, I want you to recognize that we need to be imitators of the Lord. Jesus broke open some new things when he came on the scene. He came into a society where religion had become nothing but tradition and become all sorts of man-made rules and regulations. The church was all about, or if I could say church, it's really not the church. It was the Hebrew culture and the Jewish religion was just a bunch of do's and don'ts. This is what you ascribe to. Bring your offers, doing this and that. You know, many of them are being extorted when they come to the temple just to be able to, you know, do what their business was to receive forgiveness, etc. But you know something? God sooner or later gets tired of all that. People using the people of God, people trying to use the kingdom of God, trying to use religion for their own depth and scope and will, rather than the perfect will of God and the work of the Lord. There needs to be a purity about the church. There needs to be a simplicity about the church. That's just Jesus. The things of God, the work and expression of God's love. Mankind and man-made religion will complicate things and take God out of the equation time and time again if they're not careful. As well-meaning as so many customs and things that we might do and the don'ts we say to don't, as well-meaning are nothing sometimes but personal dampers and roadblocks we put it in the way that keep people from the presence and the power of God. I remember how at one point in my life, and I just can't believe I did this. But I had been in a church in Kansas where my pastor was much more conservative than my previous pastor in Illinois was. And, you know, he was concerned in the extent of standards was very important and how you dressed and different things and how you presented yourself in church. And yeah, he could accept the fact that when you first come to Christ, you dress a certain way, whatever, but sooner or later he wanted to change. He wanted to do this and that. And he didn't think certain things were appropriate in the church. And I was visiting my friends in Illinois back in my home church and my brother and I were on vacation. We were actually in vacation back home in Ottawa. And, while I was there, you know, I'd been talking to my brother, wanting him to come to church, et cetera. And lo and behold, here I am in a service there in Ottawa, Illinois. And my brother, I see him coming through the window into the church. Yeah. In the window, I see him coming. And he was wearing shorts. And I just thought it wasn't appropriate to have shorts when you came into church. Bless God, hallelujah, glory to God. At least at that point in my life. Now, I had started out and different things were different, and I kind of came into the church in the Jesus movement and you know, long hair, et cetera else. I used to have a long medallion I was proud of wearing all the time on, you know, around my neck, all sorts of things. You know, it was cool. But I'd become more churchified. I'd become more religious. I'd become more settled in my ways. I'd been around more conservative element of the church, and I wasn't cottoning to all that anymore. I was getting proudly religious. Bless God. Not much of Jesus in that, huh? I enjoyed that church and enjoyed my pastor. Brother Ellis was a wonderful man, and et cetera, and his wife. And they were from a certain strain of tradition that this is the way it was. And they really, really meant well. But I had adopted to something that wasn't me and also wasn't, you know, kosher with God. And Brother Nordstrom took me aside when he found out. He said, don't you ever stop someone from coming to church. I don't care how they come. I don't care what kind of condition they're in. They need Jesus. And they need to get a hold of the power of God. And that kept with me, and I've stayed that way ever since. I've never changed or deviated from that ever since. Amen. You come as it, however you are. I just want you to know the man from Galilee. I want you to know this man who's changed my life. I want you to know this man who spoke to me and talked with me and walks and ministers to me constantly. Hallelujah. Through the Holy Spirit of God. And today I want you to know that God wants you to touch somebody today at work. God wants you to minister to someone in your home. God wants you to reach out to somebody. He wants you to share his love. He wants you to be imitators of him. Hallelujah. He wants people to follow after you. Follow after you. Say, hey, I want to be like brother and sister so-and-so. When I was in the church in Ottawa, Phil Nordstrom, who was Brother Nordstrom's son, I played the viola, okay? And that was the instrument I played while in high school and junior high. And lo and behold, Phil was so touched and everything by life and my expression in the church that he ended up wanting to take up a fiddle to play later. I found out about that later. And, you know, in my life, I've noticed that certain people look up to certain people at a certain time, and you don't realize what an effect you're having in their lives. And I hope our example can be for good. And I hope what we share can be for good. And I hope we can bless people's lives and people can be changed by the power of God. But I dare say that some of us aren't paying attention to the expression, the portrait, the canvas that we've kind of let out for people to look at and see that God is painting. And for some of us, it's not looking the way it should look. And for some of us, it's not showing the love of God it should. And we need to be a people that says, hey, God, maybe need to start all over a little bit. Let's just clean the board here, God. Let's get this right. You can take care of these flaws. You can take care of these different things. I'm going to let you just do whatever you got to do, God. so that I can be a vessel of honor for you. Hallelujah. That I might imitate you, and people will come to God and they'll be giving their lives over to you, and the power of God will be seen. Amen. We need more people who will break open that alabaster box, who will get that perfume out, that will share the things of God. Hallelujah. It might cost something, but so what? I've only got one life to share. Let me give the Lord everything I've got. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's go into let's look back at verse 12, John 12, just bear with me a few more minutes, if you will. I hope you're getting something out of this, and I hope that the Lord is sharing with you what he wants to do in your heart and life in a very special way. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it as it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." We're going to stop there. He shortly after this begins to talk about prophesying about his death. And it takes a whole nother look at what's going on. But look at this. There's celebrations going on. Everybody's talking about Jesus. Lazarus is there, man. Hey, Jesus is at the apex of his misery. This is where it's at, man. Then he puts a big damper on it. And we'll go in the next few scriptures and say, "Hey, you're going to kill me. You know, you're not going to be looking at me like this much longer. You're going to be looking to have me crucified, more or less." Hallelujah. How quickly it will change. But it doesn't change the effect of what Jesus' life, his ministry, his miracle working power had done and made this unbelievable testimony to the people around about. At the apex of ministry, here he was, and he was sacrificing all for us. But it was his appointed time. He didn't have a lot of years in ministry. But what he gave it all. Amen. He gave it all. And we can do no less. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus gave it all, not just at the tree. He gave it all during his ministry. He held nothing back. He tried to share his love. He tried to demonstrate his power. He showed forth and imitated the Father's love and let people get to know what God's pure intentions were and how much God loved them. Wasn't looking to punish them. Wasn't looking to destroy them. Wasn't looking to get them further away from him. He was trying to build a church that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against. And he wanted people to get a hold of what his son, Jesus Christ, was preaching about. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 20. As I said, and I mean it, I'm going to be closing shortly. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Philip to turn and told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, and while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Did you hear me? Whoever serves me must follow me. That's simply what he's asking you to do today. That's simply what he asked me to do many, many years ago, just to come follow after him. My Father will honor the one who serves me. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Hallelujah. Are you willing to serve him today? Are you willing to honor him today? Are you willing to just open things up to him and let him have his way in your heart and life? He's just asking you to follow him, to imitate him, to learn of him, and to see what he can do in your heart and life. Hallelujah. I don't know anything better than knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There's a lot of things in this world that are entertaining. There's a lot of things in this world you're going to escape onto. But I've never found anything more precious than the principles of Christ to live by. The life to share with and the life he gives. And I've never found anything better than the people of God and the church of God. Despite our flaws and inconsistencies, and somehow how the leadership just seems to forget that simple admonition to follow me. We've got to put on the altar all this man-made religion and incredulous debris of self-aggrandizement and self-prosperity and self-this and self-that. And we must realize that it is a time and an hour to share, to care, to give, and to love. And that we're getting to that point where the next part of revelation and power and revival is, where that which he's preparing us for is going to see a very powerful move of God, and there's going to be like a raising of the dead of the Lazarus and the power of God ministering and demonstrating in such a way that the world is going to take notice as he ministers fresh life into the church again. Gives us a new dose of revelation and understand. Gives us a better seat at the table of wisdom. Because there's changes that need to be in the church to get rid of some of the sin and sickness and disease that has taken place in the last few years. Calling itself the church and the faith, and it has nothing to do with the church and the faith. We've got to get back to Jesus. We've got to get back to the cross. We've got to get back to love. We've got to get back to just falling in love with him and one another and ministering to those around about us again. Amen. Church has got caught up so much in things they shouldn't be caught up in. Worrying about too many things that they don't need to be worrying about. Allow Jesus Christ to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if they live out the life of Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Lord's doing, they're not going to have to worry about, okay, who's in charge here and who's doing this and what's that? Oh, maybe I need to. Hey, no. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to work things out. Jesus could have, when he came on the scene, you know, taken over as, hey, you know, hey, I'm in line to be the king. I'm in line to be the King of Kings and take control over all the kingdom of here of Israel. He had the lineage. He had the pedigree. But that's not what he came to do. He came to give life and that more abundantly. He came to heal the sick. He came to make blinded eyes to see. He came to share God's love and embrace and to open up and break open this thing so that not just the Jews, but the Gentiles could receive the gift of covenant and grace. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing, church. Hallelujah. I, I like to speak messages that are just so coherent, and perfect sometimes. And I like to, you know, have flowery speech sometimes. You know, I kind of get into that sometimes. But you know something? More so when I just let Jesus have his way and minister and allow the Holy Spirit to have me more so than me myself be, you know, deal with what I want to deal with. Gets a lot more done. I sat here tonight and before I came here, it's like, hey, I had a nice outline. I had the book. I had this, that, and all this other stuff together. The Lord just said, I want you to share this with my people. I'm hungry, church. I'm hungry for a move of God. I'm hungry for another fresh touch of his glory. I'm hungry to break open the alabaster box. I'm hungry to see rising from the dead, so to speak, of life and love and ministry, etc. I'm looking forward to seeing God just break the chains of bondage. I'm looking forward to us going through the gates of hell, seeing the power of God. But we have to be following him. And if he says go forward, and he takes that blood-stained banner, and we go forward, and hallelujah, our captain goes forward and says, hey, you coming with me or not? I want to be able to come with him. I want to be able to follow him. I want to be able to do his business. Hallelujah. It might not always be easy, but it's going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Those times are coming. It's in the now. It's beyond the horizon. And God's glory is going to be revealed. But are you willing to go up that hill? Are you willing to go over that mountain? Are you willing to take that chance? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself for that? Amen. Or are you going to hold back? Are you going to play it safe? And you say, well, no. What will it be, church? Will you follow him? It's a simple call he's had ever since. He was in ministry years and years ago, over 2,000 years ago. He simply told his disciples, follow me. He didn't give a lot of explanation. He just said, follow me. He didn't sit there and give a big treatise and demonstration of word or anything else. He just said, follow me. And he's doing it today. Same thing. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much for bringing us together tonight and to, Lord, allow your word to come to us. I pray that your word will settle in our spirit and touch our hearts. And I pray there will be revelation and grace that will come. You will help us to climb that mountain, to go through those gates, to see the victory of God, to take hold of that which you want us to possess, and to see the work of your kingdom be done. Remove from me what needs to be that I might be the child of God you want me to be. And help me, O Lord, to have that fresh excitement and joy that I might just plunge in to your glory and to see the work of your name be done and to glorify the Lord and do great things, not by might, not by power, but through your spirit. And I pray your touch and anointing upon your people, your grace upon your children. And Lord God, that you'd help each and every one to take up their cross and follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. God bless each and every one of you till next week. Thank you guys for what you do. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your coming together. Amen. Appreciate it so very much. In Jesus' name, amen.